Thank you, Brother Dave, and good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. It's a wonderful thing that we are now in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, in many ways, is very special, not just because Matthew is the first Gospel record that we come to, but there are certain things that this man brings us in his Gospel record. And it is Matthew who gives us the complete law of Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. But he records of his own turning point in chapter 9 of Matthew, where he says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the place of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." And when Matthew uses "he arose," it is a new life. It is a resurrection. It was used also of the man who was sick of the palsy just ahead of this calling by Matthew. And you'll see that in chapter 6, in verse 6 of the same chapter. Verse 7. "And he arose and departed to his house." It was a new beginning. Matthew was very good at keeping records. And so it was a very suitable job for Matthew that he would be a tax collector, because he would have to record the monies that he received. But he was a hated man by his countrymen. The Jews hated those who gave them over to serve the Roman government, and particularly to take the money out of their pockets and give it to the Romans. So Matthew was not liked. And Matthew was also a man of means. He had a considerable amount of money, which was one of the benefits of being a tax collector, because not only would they take the tax that was required by Rome, they could also take a little bit more and put that in their pocket. But Matthew leaves a few things out, and Luke records them for us. And so Luke, speaking of the same incident, he says, "And after these things," in verse 27 of chapter 6, "he went forth," that's Jesus, "and saw," or beheld, he took a good look at this man, "a publican named Levi." Now, we know that a publican is a different profession today, and in Bible times it was simply a tax collector. And so Jesus saw this tax collector named Levi. And Luke and Mark call him Levi. In Matthew, he calls himself Matthew. He had two names. And Peter also had, as we know, two names, Peter and Simon. And Jesus said unto Matthew, "Follow me." And he forsook all. He left everything. And you know, when we get up here to read the Bible, brothers, we have a duty not just to read words. Our duty is to read the sense of what is here. And I don't think there is one word, one single word in any of the Gospel records, in any of the New Testament, that isn't significant. And so when Luke records of Matthew that he left everything, we can appreciate what he went through in his conversion. The money that he was receiving in that job as a tax collector was finished. He now retired. He gave it all up. And he followed Jesus. And in Matthew, you don't read what Luke tells us, that he made a great feast in his house. And there was a great multitude of publicans and of others that sat down with them. He had all of his colleagues there so that they would see what was going on. They would come face to face with the man who changed his life. And the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Those who are in need. So Luke tells us that Matthew left everything. I think there was one exception. When he walked out of that toll booth, never to go back again, I think he took his pen. And so some years later, quite a few years later, he would record this gospel record. And it amazes me how he could remember, three chapters of Christ's teaching and record it word for word. No doubt, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And these things all came to him, and he recorded them. Matthew was a Jew. He was very much into his Old Testament. And in fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, we find at least 100 references, direct references to the Old Testament. But as we come to today's reading, it seemed kind of peculiar to me, and I thought we should look at it a little more closely. Because here in 5, 6, and 7, we have the law of Christ. It is key to the life and the education of any disciple. My brothers and sisters, if we observe Matthew 5, 6, and 7, there is absolutely no doubt where we will be in the coming age. We will be with Christ. This is the way of life that Jesus taught us. Why would we call it his law? Jacob saw it. Jacob saw it and he prophesied of it, and we read of it in Genesis chapter 49 verse 10, where Jacob prophesied and said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." The kingship would be right there within the tribe of Judah. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet. There would be a lawgiver arise from between Judah's feet until Shiloh come. Till, if I can give you the Revised Version margin for that, till he come whose it is. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And I'm sure as Matthew recorded verse 1 of chapter 8, and he recorded about the great multitudes that followed Jesus, that verse in Genesis 49 was clearly before his mind. And here we see the one who would arrive, who would come from between the feet of Judah and would hold the scepter of kingship. Here he is, the great king to come, and the one who has laid out so clearly how we should live and what we should do. than Matthew records about a leper. Matthew was very logical. But in this case, he put this incident completely out of sequence. This leper was healed before the Sermon on the Mount. So why does Matthew do it? It was not a mistake. Christ's law is absolutely astonishing. That's what Matthew says. Verse 28, chapter 7, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. It wasn't just teaching. It wasn't just academics. Here were the teachings of Jesus Christ, which were life-changing. And now Matthew is going to illustrate it by this account of the leper that was cleansed. The leper that was cleansed follows directly on from the astonishing teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's why Matthew did it. In fact, I don't think there's any doubt that this is why Matthew did it. And behold, there came to him a leper. Leprosy had two forms. There was one leprosy which would last between 10 and 20 years. And eventually the person would be free of the leprosy. But the most common leprosy was not so. The most common leprosy continued to destroy the person during the time that they had it. The eyebrows of a leper would fall off. Their fingers and their toes would also fall off. Even eventually their hands and their feet would fall off. They had to have their clothing torn. But with the leper's inability to look after themselves, they would stink. There was no such thing as personal hygiene. Nobody could come near them. They couldn't be touched. They had to maintain a distance of 6 feet from the nearest person. They could only live in the corner of a house. They were allowed to meet in the synagogue in one corner. They had to arrive before anyone else. And they had to leave after everyone else had left. By the law in Leviticus, they had to cover the bottom of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean, wherever they went. It's recorded of some rabbis that one would not even purchase an egg that was sold on the street where a leper had walked. Of another rabbi, it has been recorded that he was proud that he kept the lepers at a distance from people by throwing stones at them. And so you can see what kind of a life a leper would have. Their appearance would be horrible. The hair upon their head would be completely disheveled. And they would be unclean, literally, as well as diseased. I'm just going to read to you some of what was required of the leper, just so that we get the fullness of the picture. From the law in Leviticus, where we're told in Leviticus chapter 13, and I'm going to have to make this very brief, because it's very extensive what we find in the law concerning leprosy. It was not uncommon. Leprosy was a very common disease. And we remember, do we not, on one occasion that Jesus actually cured 10 lepers. 10 of them. But the interesting thing, if I can just deviate just for one moment, in that incident with the 10 lepers, we know that only one came back to Jesus and thanked him. What of the 9? And by the way, that one was a Samaritan. What of the 9? You see, they went off in a new life. Clean men. And they enjoyed being the center of attention. There was only one whose heart was touched. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone, and without the camp shall his dwelling be. This is how a leper had to live. For the leper comes to Jesus. And he worshipped him. And the disciples were there. And it was easy for the leper to come close to Jesus, because everyone else would clear away. And he would stay at a distance of 6 feet from Jesus and the disciples. That's what he had to do. And he was accustomed to that. And being in front of the Lord Jesus, he worshipped him. And he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Can we appreciate the fullness of those words of the leper? This man who was unclean, who was filthy in fact and contaminated, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched forth his hand. He had to. The man was a distance away from him. And so Jesus had to make the move and go forward and reach out his arm so that his hand would come upon the head of that man and touch him. And we can imagine the repulsion of everybody that was around him as they looked upon the scene that was being lived out. This repulsive man, this leper. And the Lord Jesus Christ with his hand upon his head. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man. Don't tell anyone. Jesus was telling this man very clearly, I don't want you to become the center of attention. Sure, you could go around and you could talk about this wonderful miracle that had taken place. And people would look upon you and be curious as to how all this happened. But that's not what Jesus wanted. What Jesus wanted was a cleansing on the inside that would match the cleansing on the outside. And so he said, go thy way. show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. It would not be just a testimony to the priest. It would be a moving testimony to the leper himself. And I believe that was the underlying cause of what Jesus was commanding this man. And again, I'm just going to take you back to the law and read what the law had to say in the book of Leviticus. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two living clean birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command to kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean. And shall let go the living bird into the open field. I don't imagine the priests in the time of Jesus were very busy doing this, because most leprosies were the long-term leprosy that was fatal. And we see as we read through the law that the cleansing process was very involved. It was quite complex. And we don't have time to go into all of it. If we did, we could be instructed in what was really underneath this process. But one thing, if I might mention it, is that the leper had to take scarlet to the priest. And this, along with everything else, would be a wonderful teaching tool. But Isaiah tells us the significance of scarlet. Isaiah tells us that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Your sins as scarlet. But lives were given. There were 2 birds, and 1 was killed. The other 1 was dipped in his blood and set free. And in that there would be a wonderful lesson for the leper, as he saw that there was a life that was poured out. And the life was poured out, and another life was given freedom. How many were the wonderful lessons that were in the law regarding leprosy? And this is what Jesus wanted this man to do. Jesus wanted this man to go through this ritual and see what was behind it. And the man would see as he went through this thing with the priests. He would see the greater significance of what was done to him by the laying on of Jesus' hand. His faith would be amplified. It would grow. Jesus wanted this man to be saved. He didn't want him to become famous. He wanted this man to see what was involved in the pouring out of life. the partaking in sacrifice and being made free. You see why Matthew wrote about the leper after he recorded the law of Christ? Because, my brothers and sisters, that's us. You see, there's not one leper here amongst us. Nobody here with the filth of leprosy upon our skin. But there is not one of us here who doesn't need cleansing. There is not one of us here who doesn't need to pour out a life. There is not one of us here who does not need to recognize that though our sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as wool. We need that. Thank you, Matthew. We appreciate what you did for us by recording this incident right where you wrote it. But you know, whenever we see Jesus doing something, it's not just to tell us what Jesus did. When we read these things, it's to tell us what we should do. Because we follow his example. And it's important that we learn these lessons. And so out of this, can we just say, brothers and sisters, can I stretch out a hand and touch the life of someone who needs it? Can we do it? Because that is the lesson that we have today. This is our daily reading. When we look around us, we won't see too many lepers. But we'll see hundreds and thousands of people who need to be made clean. Who need to understand the significance of a life that is poured out and freedom that is given. And today, as we take the bread and the wine, brothers and sisters, we're being taught. We have a wonderful opportunity today. For as we receive the bread and the wine, Jesus, in response to our request, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus is telling us today, I will. Be thou clean.